Be on guard, for the Son of Man will come like a thief in the night at an hour you least expect. Sounds pretty ominous, doesn't it? As if Jesus were some mugger ready to pounce as soon as we let down our guard. There's a harshness in that warning that stands in sharp contrast to the gentleness of his words at the beginning of today's gospel. Do not be afraid, for it is God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. So, which of these two readings are we supposed to believe? Do we keep ourselves poised in readiness, ever alert for the unexpected coming of God's kingdom? Or should we rather sit back complacently and wait for that trumpet signal for the saints to go marching in? Today's gospel is not meant to be heard in isolation. It's part of a broader section in Luke's gospel that we've been listening to for the past 5 Sundays. Had Luke been more colorful, he might have dubbed this section Boot Camp for Disciples. In these couple of chapters, Luke shows Jesus taking a clump of unlikely followers and trying to determine whether they've got what it takes to be disciples. We began this boot camp for disciples back on the 4th of July weekend. Do you remember that gospel where one of these disciple wannabes shuffled up to Jesus and boasted, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." More importantly, do you remember Jesus' response? "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In other words, there's no clear-cut plan for discipleship. The disciple is called to be relentless in trying to discover what God wants for the world right at this moment, and then she must be endlessly creative in finding ways to put that into practice. In the following week's gospel, Jesus took a gamble on 70 of those disciple candidates and sent them out on a sort of maiden preaching tour. In the weeks since then, Luke has shown Jesus continuing to train the disciples. Often this training meant smashing their stereotypes and flipping on its head their way of thinking, seeing, and feeling about other people. One week, if you recall, Jesus told them the parable of the Good Samaritan. Even those novice disciples were savvy enough to figure out that the priest and the Levite in that story were hardly fit models for discipleship, punctiliously observing the religious law, but utterly oblivious to human suffering. In telling that parable, Jesus wanted these disciples in training to know that discipleship is not simply about performing random acts of kindness. Anybody can do that. Rather, it means feeling a kicked-in-the-gut kind of compassion for every living person, especially the most helpless. In today's gospel, the apprenticeship lesson continues. And as in other cases, the point of the lesson isn't what it first appears to be. It starts with a pretty bold imperative: sell your possessions and give alms. Can you swallow that? Are you ready to auction off all your worldly possessions? If that's really what it means to be a disciple, then either today's offertory collection should be a whopper, or else next week there will be plenty of empty seats here. But is Jesus really all that interested in the things we own? Well, one clue is that in Luke's gospel, possessions are never what they seem to be. Or better yet, possessions are always more than they seem to be. In this gospel, possessions are not the material commodities that we own, the espresso makers and the HD TVs. Rather, possessions are the things that make us who we are and how we act. If someone wants to know us, they'll do far better to disregard the creature comforts that clutter our homes and focus instead on the gifts we've been given, the talents we have developed, the skills we have mastered, the attitudes that shape our behavior. If our acquaintances can get a bead on those things, then they'll have a much better idea of who we really are. That's what Jesus is getting at in today's gospel. He's not asking his disciples to jettison their insignificant creature comforts. He's asking them to re-examine their real assets, their talents, skills, their attitudes. Because, as he explains, where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. If Jesus can get us to put our assets to work for God's kingdom of justice and peace right here, right now, then we have every chance of becoming effective and powerful disciples. This evening, Jesus poses to us latter-day disciples the same questions he asked his first disciples, Peter and Joanna, Magdalene and Andrew. Do you know what your treasures are? Can you appreciate how God so thoughtfully chose those gifts particularly for you? How well have you used those gifts for God's people, especially the neediest? Are your attitudes and your energies as aligned with God's hunger and thirst for justice as they could be? Let's face it, friends, for you and me, discipleship boot camp is long over. We've already signed on for the long haul. Our commitment to God should lead us to be neither anxious nor complacent about the end of the world. Rather, it should strengthen our resolve to labor for the coming of God's kingdom every day more and more as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.